Alright everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and this is Leap of Faith on Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We are back, and now we get to explore Lexi's mansion. Very interesting. Well, this is my humble home. Welcome. I'm not sure humble is the right word you're looking for. Wow, come check out the pool. This is a dream come true. Looks delicious. Can't wait to bomb that pool. Or just lay there for days sipping on something good. Make yourself at home. Do as you would at your own place. My bedroom is upstairs, but all the guest rooms are downstairs. The luggage should be down there already, so feel free to pick out rooms and get comfortable. I'm gonna crash here while you guys get sorted out. Grim, would you like to accompany me? Of course. I kind of feel like a bad host right now, but I'm shot. We should have a party or something. I'm sure we'll manage just fine without a party right now. Jet lag is gonna set in any time anyway. Those boots are wonderful to put on, but so fantastic to get out of afterwards. You said you've been away for a full year? Yeah, well, 364 days, but I'll count that as a year. Sounds exhausting. Not really. The tour itself is a blast. Time flies by and you're surrounded by people who love you, literally. The exhausting part is getting the list of concerts you're gonna do before the tour. When I see that list, I cry. Some superstar, eh? We come from two different worlds, Lexi. It's hard to imagine. Tell me a bit about yourself, please. I'd love to hear. Any girlfriends? Nope. Just nope? I lost my girlfriend a few years ago. Took a long time to get over. And haven't really found a new one yet. Although there's somebody piquing my interest, though. And work? I wish I could tell you something exciting, but most of my life is as boring as it gets. Finished school and got a job straight away. I've been working in the sewers for a few years. Let's just say it's most likely a whole lot less glamorous than what you're used to. Although I got fired a few days back, so right now I'm actually not doing anything. What, you thought I was gonna think differently about you because you got fired? I wasn't sure, to be honest. And you still told me. If anything, that tells me a lot about you as a person. Much more than you going on about how normal your job is. It's not where you work that counts, but who you are as a person. Although it doesn't sound that pleasurable. It's not really that bad. You get used to it. And there's no paparazzi down there. Every job has its perks. Would you like to do me a tiny favor? Can you close your eyes for just a little bit? Oh, now I'm terrified. I just want to test something. Intimacy control. Click on words best suited to your feelings to advance the scene. As you close your eyes, you feel instantly calm. Lowering your shoulders, you accept the feeling, silently awaiting her next move. Suddenly, you can feel a small, almost unnoticeable breath of air against your lips, sending jolts of pleasure through the entirety of your spine. The breath of air gets warmer until it's replaced by the softest lips you've ever felt. Yeah, of course. You just can't help being aroused. Your lips part as her tongue slides past them, seeking yours. In eager anticipation, your own tongue meets hers and you do a sensual dance visual to nobody but the two of your sexual desires. Your arms seek her as hers seek you. It should be, yeah. You move your arms, upper body, brushing her breasts until you feel them pressing against you. Moving towards her neck where you embrace her, deepening the kiss. As the voices in the background get louder, you both realize the others are coming back. You let go slowly, feeling her breath on your lips one more time. And for a moment, you seem to spot the woman behind the superstar. And then it's gone. Shame. Then we both finish at the same time. Dual orgasm. And 2 minutes later, the guy's ready to go again. Sounds like a keeper to me. My thoughts exactly. I think I'll leave you with your moments. Just gonna stretch my legs a bit. You okay there, my dude? Better than a long time, man. I'm glad to hear that. This place is fantastic. It's completely unreal. And she kissed me. She's so sweet, sensual, flirty. Is it who she is? Or does she want something more? What a view, but the smell. Why have I been smelling rose and jasmine the whole day? Oh, the shirt. I guess she wore it last. You're really good friends, aren't you? We've been best buddies since school, my young lady. Yeah, Linda told me all about all the crazy stuff you did. Those years were the best. We did all kinds of weird things. Always having a blast. Grim, me, and Linda. And Stephanie? Why do I feel like there's something going on every time her name is mentioned? No, it's about time I stopped dodging the bullet just because of her. Things were that bad? No, things were great. They just ended badly. Maybe there should be a comma there. One day, suddenly she was gone. There was no preceding event to suggest she would leave. Still, suddenly she did. For 2 whole years. I have no idea why she left, but the saddest thing is that knowing her, she probably had a good reason. I just wish she had said something before she left. She loved him? I know she did. And he loved her? He did. They were perfect for each other. I honestly thought they'd grow old together. That many years from now, he would sit at his porch talking about the good old times while Steph would bring us both a refreshing cold one. She was compassionate, friendly, lovingly? Loving, nice, always there, a wonderful friend. But she hurt my best friend. What's this? Oh, this has got to be old. Wonder what it is. Is it too good to be true? I want this so much, but don't know if I can trust you. My dear, I'm writing this letter because I don't think I'll be able to say what I should have said a long time ago. Not while looking into your beautiful eyes. But I've made a really big mess, one I have to sort out. It means I have to go away for a while. I don't know for how long. A month. 2 months or even longer. Much longer. I don't even know myself. And what I do know is I was not allowed to tell you. Oh, excuse me. And what I do know I was not allowed to tell you. I shouldn't even write this letter, but I have to. I'm not afraid to show them how I really feel about you anymore. I love you. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Keep going. More than you'll ever know. Knowing that I'm hurting you is a burden almost too heavy to carry. But I would do it again in a heartbeat, as long as you're safe. I will return, and when I do, I will explain everything. And I hope I can jump into your arms when I do. I'm so, so sorry, baby. Eternally yours. Stephanie. New task. Here's Stephanie out. Okay. Bonus scenes unlocked, 3 of 3. We did good there. Non-romanceable options missed 1 this playthrough. You did not bring the party to Lexi's jet. Whoops, my bad. Flirty level, high. Romantic level, medium. Athletic level, high. Not much for romance, surprisingly. The game consists of 24,459 screens. We've only seen 3,252 of them. That means there's 20,000 plus screens we have not seen, and we're halfway through the game. That's amazing. And now for the moment you've all been waiting for. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our next guest here on The Helen Show. The ever so lovely, charming, and talented, Lexi DeMonte. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming. A pleasure, love. Thank you for having me. Now that you finally turned 18 and officially launched as a solo artist, how does it feel? Honestly, it feels great. I love everything about the life as an artist, from composing alone at home to performing in front of a huge crowd. And if people like what I do, that's just the icing on the cake. You've been in the spotlight all your life. Do you sometimes miss the normal life, like doing what teenagers your age do? I only know of one life, and I duly enjoy it, so I can't really say I miss out on anything, at least that I know of. Of course, there's one question that's on everyone's mind, and I have to ask it. Yeah! Well, I mean, come on now, I'm not really an audience. Yeah, they know what I'm talking about. So tell us, Lexi, is there someone special in your life right now? I thought we agreed not to talk about this, Helen. We've all heard the rumors of you and Mr. Hotshot himself. Anything to add? Just stop it. So, guess who? If I were to take an educated guess based on the girly hands and smell, Chris that stole Steph's perfume? Does that look like Chris to you? Excuse me, I did that wrong. Does this look like Chris to you? Oh, you finally shaved the mustache. Haha, Mr. Funny Guy, you got any other good ones? Sorry, Steph, I didn't recognize you from this end. Laughs, that would have probably been way too cheeky, except for the fact that it's probably true. Yeah, don't just stand there. Get over here, baby. Missed you, Steph. It's been 2 hours. But I know what you mean. Missed you too, baby. We're way too lovey-dovey, aren't we? Probably. What are you watching? Helen's show. Who's the girl? Some famous singer. Helen is really tough on her. She obviously doesn't want to talk about her love life, but she keeps pushing forward. See, you can read it all over her face. Poor girl. Sometimes the hosts really push things too far. Just to get a piece of exclusive news. She's probably a virgin. And if it hadn't been for you, I'd still be one. Don't you come telling me you regret that. Of course not, it was perfect. I mean, it hurt, of course, but it was still perfect because it was with you. I want you to know that. You did everything right. And on the subject of... this pillow's become a bit uncomfortable to rest my head on. It's too hard. What do you say we... sounds like a great idea. I made waffles. You kids want some? Waffles are great sex. Tough choice. Especially when you're so good at... that thing you do. Oh, that thing. The twirl? I'm multitasking here. But those waffles. Chris and Linda are on their way over. If you guys don't finish up whatever mischief you're doing and get down here before they get here, those waffles are going to be devoured. Twirl, eh? How'd you come up with a name like that? No comment. But I love your mom's waffles. They're better than sex. Yeah, see, the interesting thing is these two live together with his mother. Back then, it wasn't really so crazy. Now women are like, oh my god, you live with your parents. But I remember young and being young and with my folks, you know. And, oh yeah, there were girls who'd be like, oh, your mother makes this real well or something like that. And I would go over to their house and they would, you know, it would be about their cooking and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's just kind of how it was, because families wanted to kind of intermingle. You know, you weren't necessarily dating the person. You were introducing somebody into your family, and they were introducing you into theirs. So it was a completely different situation. Sure, you're dating a woman that you have a lot of, you know, feelings for, but they're actually looking at, oh, this can be serious. These two are going to get married. These two are going to have my grandkids. So it was kind of a big deal, because you become part of that family and they become part of your family. So again, it's kind of weird. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, they're supposed to constantly live under the parents, but I will say in traditional cultures, they still do live with the parents and take care of the parents. It's not even living with the parents, it's more like the parents live with them. Because the parents are older now, they need somebody to take care of them, and it sure beats a nursing home where they fucking neglect elders, because I worked at one for 2.5 years, and I can tell you that all your grandfather, your grandpas and grandmas are being treated like fucking shit over there. I'm sorry, I've been there, I've seen it, I know what they do. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good thing to actually move in with your kids. I mean, that's just how it is when you get old. That's what they were supposed to do, take care of you. That's why a lot of cultures will want their men to become doctors and lawyers and stuff like that, because they know they'll make a lot of money and can take care of them when they're old. We'll be right there, Miss Hudson. Waffles! Hey. Unfair start. I get first pick. The warmest, freshest waffle of all for me. Doorbell. Come in, no need to use the doorbell. This smells like heaven on earth. You kids are too nice. You need to wash your hands, Grim. Hey! He's been molesting you again? Oh, hell yeah. Language, Steph. Sorry, Jane. What was the bad word? Molesting or hell? Ah, but those sweet teenage memories. Mom, no stories! That didn't seem fun or right at all. She really went there, didn't she? Yeah, but it's fine. Speaking of, how are things with Luke? You mean ex-Luke? Ouch. Don't overthink it. You'll be fine, and you'll find someone better. I really thought he was the one, you know? But he's just a guy that wanted a trophy. Huh? No way. If he as much looked at you the wrong way, I swear to God. No, nothing like that. Relax, girl. I was so sure that once we'd done that thing, that would be it, you know? That it would connect us and fill in the blanks. So ram home and ran home, huh? Yeah, I know a lot of guys doing that now. Pretty much. Haven't seen or heard from him since. You are too naive, you know that, right? Love doesn't work like that. Or sex. I mean, sex is great, provided you have an okay partner. But sex doesn't fuel love, it fuels from love. But why can't I just find a guy who likes the girl he sees? Maybe because every guy's already jerked off to your posters like 15 times. But you will, someday. And in the meantime, just enjoy sex for what it is, you know? I don't enjoy sex that much. Never, ever, 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 ever say that in an interview. And don't overthink these things. You'll enjoy it that much more then. Let's head over to your place, fill the jacuzzi, and just relax the day away. Chapter 4, D major or major D. So we're almost halfway. We're not completely halfway. Nope. Can't sleep. Probably some jet lag setting in. Or the fact that I'm in the house of probably the most famous pop star in the world. Not quite what I'd imagined when I woke up a few days ago. How the heck did I even get her attention? She's insanely hot, though. But she's been acting a bit overzealous. If she could tell him how I feel instead of doing all kinds of stupid things. Like showing him my very exposing dress. Holly's right. I really don't have a clue, do I? Here I am giving him credit for treating me like a normal girl, so why don't I treat him like a normal guy? But guys like girls being pushy, don't they? I always tended to. I don't even know anymore. I always liked him feisty, you know? Not too feisty, but feisty. Being close to him gets me tingly all over, though. I hope we get a chance to get some alone time, just the two of us. Unless he's into one of the others. He sure knows a lot of girls. Maybe it's better not to. Think about these things all the time. It's not helping anyone or yourself. Thank you, Head, for taking a little break today. I really needed it. Feelings are such a bitch. Even good ones. I couldn't care less about how I feel. But Grim, seeing him happy, it dulls my feelings. I can see him pondering about Stephanie. He definitely needs some kind of closure. Even if he's perfectly happy without her, I have to see her to be sure. And him with her. Maybe when we get back home, he can solve that little thing. Fuck, here we go again. With those depressing thoughts. Is this where I admire the view in the mirror and tell myself I look so damn sexy? There we go, Grim. It's all for you. Just let it go, Linda. You've loved him for so long now without getting anything back. It's time to give up on him. If he hasn't seen you by now, he never will. Or maybe this little trip will somehow make him see that. You really like him, don't you? And you don't? It's hard not to. And it's not just about the sex. Okay, so it's about the sex, too. But he's the first guy I've ever felt anything like this about. I know. Maybe even as much as I do for you. I'm so glad you said those words. So I don't have to. Baby? Make room, Cuddles. Time to snuggle. Smile and pretend everything's perfectly fine. She won't see through it. Who am I kidding? Of course she will. This is a fine mess you've gotten yourself into, Steph. Why don't you just tell him everything? If things hadn't been so fucked up in the first place, I would have. Oh, there's a hole in the roof. In an airport. That's quite weird. But if there's some high-power entity watching me and laughing now, here's my reply to you. You're looking great as always, Steph. Huh? And Newt. It's so good to see you, Holly. Well, somebody here needs to save your moody ass. You really need a hug, don't you? You have no idea. Let's get out of here and go back to my place. And you better start filling me in on the details. Good start. Keep going. Extravagant exhaling. Use words, honey. My sigh language is kind of rusty. I like that. Well, it's a very, very, very complicated story. I have a good ear, and you have a lovely voice. It's a match made in heaven. Okay, so there's this guy. And keep it steady. Don't fuck up now. Just one more. Yes! In your face, Squashmaster 4739. I'm back on top. Task complete. You beat Squashmaster 4739 for now. So it just auto-completes that task? Damn, that's kind of crazy. Finally, now I can go to sleep. Nope, still can't sleep. There's been so much going on for the last week or so. I haven't even thought about the possibility of looking for a relationship. It's like I can pick and choose, but I don't have to. I already know. I can't get her out of my head. Kira and Robin are off limits, but Cece, Lexi, Kira, and Robin... Oh! So you can't get either, but you can get both. Linda, Stephanie... we're gonna go with Lexi. Why am I laying here thinking about Lexi when I should go see if she's up? That's right, I should check if she's up. It's kind of dorky, isn't it? Wandering around the house like that? Whatever, let's go check. This house is such a maze. I don't even know where half the people are sleeping. Whoa! You can't sleep either? No, and I was looking for Lexi. Oh, that's nice. And you? How are you doing? I'm fine. I was just heading back to my bedroom. Isn't your bedroom back there? Sure, I just needed to walk off a cramp. Not sure I believe that, but I'll check in with her later. She's acting a bit strange sometimes. Somebody's listening to music, it seems. Is this Lexi's studio? I'm not sure I should be here. Is she playing this right now? I'm familiar with that program. Oh, yeah. It's interesting that she has both windows. Like, one has the bars, you know, as I call them. And all the different little effects. Oh, man. Music. Music making is a bitch, folks. But it pays off. Seems like it. Yeah, there's all the waves. You just, yeah. So you have to go in there and cut every minor thing. Oh, it's so cool that we can do that. You can put your vocals on something, and if you fuck up or there's a sound or whatever. Of course, she's got a soundproof studio. I don't. But if there's one little blip, you can go zoom in and just clip it right out. That easy. I'm like, holy shit, it's amazing. I should make my presence known. Okay, there we go. Oh, but wow, look at these sales figures. Lexi DeMonte plugged White Room Records. 10 million copies sold. That's a lot of fucking copies. Then you got Lexi DeMonte. Crazy. White Room Records. 15 million albums sold. It's a lot of damn records, folks. That's a lot of albums. Oh, yeah, he said it. Got another one. Lexi DeMonte. It's... What is this one called? It's hard to see. Just Me and You. White Room Records. That's 15 million albums sold. Wow. A lot of million albums sold. Yeah, it's amazing, right? She's good. And so into the music, it's like it's part of her. Every note so effortless. Like she's not even concentrating. Oh. Hi there. I'm so sorry. I was listening and it sounded so nice, and I guess I was mesmerized. Don't worry about it. I'm used to playing in front of people, you know. Well, that, and you're not really dressed. An astute observation, but I can put some clothes on if you feel uncomfortable.
If I feel uncomfortable?
Yes. If you're fine with it, then I'm sure I'll manage as well. New song? Yes, or I'm having difficulties with this one for some reason.
Difficulties? How come?
Normally, writing a song is easy. I hear it in my head, and then I sit down with the piano and play through it. Then I polish the verse, the chorus, and add a bridge, because every good song needs a bridge.
She's right.
Then I add some fillers, in this case some strings to accompany the piano, and sit down with the piano again and play through the whole thing with the backing track. By then, the lyrics just come naturally. But with this one, I'm stuck. I can't find the words. Run it by me then. Not that I'm a professional like you, but let's brainstorm. What's it about?
Love.
Ah, the classic love song, but it's still vague. Love is a lot of things. What does that mean to you? It's when you see that old couple holding hands after all those years, still being in love despite the wear and tear over the years. I agree, but how did they get there? What did they experience along the way? How did they meet? Maybe they met randomly somewhere? You know, love at first sight? I do.
But these are just phrases everyone uses to describe when they met, or how much they mean to each other, answering everything. It's not particularly deep. Can I ask if it is a song about a real person? Yes, you can. Yes, it is. Try thinking what you feel about that person then, or make the song as if you're singing it directly to that person. That's not a bad idea at all. Well, should I just bill you for my services personally, or do you have a company you want me to send the bill to? I propose an exchange of service instead. Interesting. So what will it be? How can I be of assistance? What's the secret to making a smashing hit? Huh? That's your exchange service? How to make a good song? Smashing hit. That one is easy. This is the moment, the very moment where I learn the secret to good music making. The universe unfolds and I get to know the answer, which is D major. You lost me. D major. Yes, I heard you, but you still lost me. Every hit starts with a D major. There you go. Now we're even. I wonder if that's true. It sounds like a bad trade-off to me. Maybe, but you know, I could get you a freebie service. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I'm sure. I really want you. I yawned you too. That's some good hang time on that yawn. Maybe I'm a bit tired. But I still want you. Okay, that's it, miss. I'm afraid I'm gonna have to bring you to the office and book you. And since you don't seem to want to come voluntarily, I'll have to carry you. But mind your head through the door, miss. So we're going to bed, eh? To sleep. Aww. Thank you for the ride. You see, I like this a lot. Because this is how you're really supposed to act when a woman is tired or drunk or anything like that. There's a lot of these. And again, it's supposed to be that whole non-consensual consent fantasy. But a lot of games do that. Like when the woman is drunk or half asleep or whatever, you take advantage of her. But that's really not what you want to do in real life. I've actually had this situation. There was a young woman I was drinking with. She shouldn't have been drinking at her age, you know. But that's how it was, you know, it's the South. You get in the deep South country, you know, way out there. And they just let their kids have alcohol. She was 14 at the time. And basically, she was getting drunk and feeling some sort of way. I was on one couch and she was on the other. And she wanted to move over there to me, and I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. First of all, I can't remember if I was 18 or something, but I knew I was too old for that, way too old. And secondly, she was slop drunk, didn't know what the hell she was doing. You don't really take advantage of somebody like that. So what I did is, yeah, I carried her back to the couch about 2 or 3 fucking times, just like he's doing there, and put her on the couch and say, you're staying there and you're not moving for the rest of the night unless you've got to go get water or something, if you can even do that. I mean, she was so drunk, she was just more or less going to pass out right there, which was fine. But that's really what you're supposed to do. There's guys out there, really fucking awful dudes, that will take advantage of a woman like that. Like, that will literally see that as a way. I mean, and this is something that actually happened. Like, I mean, there's really guys out there that did that shit. And there's girls that would try to do that kind of stuff too with guys. Like, you know, she was drunk. Maybe she would wait till I'm asleep and try to do something to me, you know, because there's women that have done that. Thankfully, that didn't happen, you know. But just like I'm saying, though, anytime you've got a situation where a woman is feeling kind of out of it, or she's, you know, whether she's drunk or tired, just take her up to bed and let her sleep, because that's probably the best thing to do. Well, that is the best thing to do. Doesn't cause any drama. She'll thank you for it in the morning, and Everything will be great. Then you can go to sleep because, you know, there's parties. Especially when you're younger, you're going to have all these parties and all these strange women, and you never know what's going to happen. You might find that situation, maybe. You're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take Grimm's advice. I'm going to go ahead and carry her and put her in bed. And there you go. I don't care if they're falling all over you and trying to do, you just, you know, you got to be careful of all that. Got to be careful of all that stuff, because there's a lot of guys that will take advantage, and we also live in that era, me too, so you don't want to mess with that either. But alright, thank you for the ride, she says. It was better than the limo. Don't say that out loud, you might hurt Kevin's feelings. Can you stay here for a little bit? Tell me something about yourself. Not sure what to tell, really. But someone said I have a calming voice. That is probably going to put you to sleep no matter what I say. Not sure if that's a good thing or not. But I can always tell you about the time I... And she's sleeping. Probably a good thing. 364 days touring. I can't even imagine how tough that is. Oh! Why, hello there, beautiful. Aren't you just the most gorgeous thing ever? I mean, you're no Frankenstrat, but you sure look good. Don't tell Lexi, though. But I think we could make the sweet music together. I could just plug you in right now and let it rip. You were the sole reason I picked up a guitar. Thank you for the inspiration. It is by far the greatest gift you can give to anyone. Rest in peace, Eddie. Of course, he's talking about Van Halen. Let's get some sleep. I thought I heard something. Is someone else up at this hour? Linda, couldn't sleep? Grim, nah, just thinking for a bit. I know exactly what you need. Really? Yep, a little cheer you up, and I got just the thing for it. And then Miss Vasquez comes running and shouting, "Who emptied the fire extinguisher all over the hallways?" Like nobody could put two and two together when they saw Linda sitting there in a huge pile of white dust. Then Chris comes strolling without a care in the world, and she goes, "Chris, what have you done? There's no fire." He looks at you all knowing, going, "There's no fire now." Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff out of your hair? And that stuff gets into every crack. And by that, I mean every single crack. Fun times, Linda. Fun times. Poor Chris. Sometimes he's the goofiest person in the world, but he's got your back, always. Like you do, Grim. I don't know about that, but... This! What? Stroking my hair. I can't remember when you last did it. It's so good. Purr. I just remember that you used to like it. I still do. It always made me feel so safe, like I belonged. I just realized how much I've missed this, how much I've missed you, or all of us, together again. There's been so much shit going on the last few years. What's wrong? So much shit, that's putting it mildly. Then tell me about it. Of course I know things have been rough for you. Obviously, as you're broken living in my place. And I should have sat down and really talked about it earlier, but now is as good a time as any. Things have been a mess since we moved away. The new school was bad, not that I was bullied or anything, but there was always talk, and I never had any friends. Years go by, and there's a new school, same problems. And I met Cece, and she instantly hit me as just so likable, and we got along so well. Then I realized that she has problems, and somehow that makes her even more likable, I know. So there's people talking about me, her, and somewhere in the midst of it all, I feel I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. So I'm doing the best I can to keep me up, to keep her up, because she's struggling.
Okay.
But everything I try, I fail. We don't have food, a place to stay, money. Mom and Dad can't help at all because they have their own struggles. I can't even help Cece. And I feel so sorry for her that I go buy her a pair of shoes and she... Just that look in her face when she got those shoes.
They couldn't afford it, even if they were dirt cheap, low-quality shit shoes. She puts them on and she's shining, literally glowing. Her smile goes all around her head like she's in some fairy tale story. Like Cinderella. I just felt so damn alone. You and Chris and Steph, we always had each other. I've missed it so much, missed you so much. And then there's Matt. Floor squeaking. Oh, it's Chris. Hey man, can't sleep? Hi, yeah, I heard some voices, just wanted to see that everything was okay. I don't want to intrude, I'll head back downstairs. Nonsense, Chris, come here. Okay, if you're sure, I couldn't sleep, so I walked around for a bit. I heard you were talking, and I didn't want to listen in. What's the matter, Chris? Are you crying? No, I got something stuck in my eye, but I kind of heard what you were talking about, didn't want to listen. But it seemed important, so I heard parts of it, and... Come here, Chris. Everything's okay, I promise. No, no, it's not. Sniffs. I'm sorry. Sorry, you don't have anything to be sorry about. Yes, I do. I abandoned you. You're not making any sense at all. Actually, it's making all the sense in the world right now. But I'm the one that moved away. We're literally one click away from staying in touch. We should have stayed in touch, visited you. Chris, what he said. But for now, you need to continue the story. You mentioned Matt, and I've got a feeling I won't like what I'm about to hear. Well, that part of it is more embarrassing. Or stupid, really. Go on, please. You don't know this, but before I met you, Matt was an alright guy. He'd been my friend ever since kindergarten, but he's never anything more than that. And somehow I think he'd gotten into his bloated head of his that we were supposed to end up together someday. Of course, when I met you, that changed because the three of us spent so much time together. Even though we tried to include him, he always rejected it. I think he was jealous. But when I moved away, he started contacting me again. I was lonely, so I accepted him reaching out. And we did text a bit back and forth. Then one day he said he could come visit me for the weekend, and I accepted. It wasn't all that bad. He was being more normal than he's been in ages. So it ended up with us going out and drinking, and all of a sudden he asked me about the ring. Ring? What ring? The one you gave her, of course. I did? Oh, that ring. Yeah, that ring. I know it came out of a cereal box, but I always loved it. I always wore it in a chain around my neck. It made me feel closer to you in a weird way. I found comfort in it when I was lonely. So Linda, the smart one, decides she's going to put the ring in a very special place. God, this is so embarrassing. I put it in my clit piercing. Okay. I feel so stupid. But long story short, Matt asked. I was drunk, so I told him. He just laughed. So later in the evening, we head home because he was staying in our place. Mom and Dad said it was okay. But we were very, very drunk, and he came on to me hard. I told him several times that would never happen. I didn't want to. At first he was angry, but he calmed down. And eventually we fell asleep. And the morning when I woke up, he was gone. Sounds to me that you were lucky. That's what I thought at first. Mom and Dad said he left early. So eventually I went to the toilet and the ring was gone. And not only that, I didn't feel all right down there at all. Did he... Look, I don't know. I searched everywhere but couldn't find it. I even went back to the disco just to check, but it was gone. So maybe it was just because I saw the missing ring I felt weird, or maybe it was because something else, but it's in the past now anyway. I'm gonna straight up murder him. Yeah, he's... Listen, please, I don't know. That was why I asked you about him when I met you at the hospital. And I didn't want to ask Matt when we ran into him at the restaurant in front of everyone. But just maybe there's some other solution to it. So can we just please not talk about this anymore at this moment? Me and you are going to get to the bottom of this when we get home, Grim. Of course we are. We need to pay Matt a visit. Linda, does Cece know? She doesn't. Why? I thought that was why she poured that drink on him. But, can we change the topic? So, what was it you were talking about before I got here anyway? Now, yeah, when she makes the promise,
that reminded me of something, because there's a lot of women, they say, like, can we please not talk about this anymore? Can we not bring this up? Like, they will say that. And you, like, you have to fucking keep that shit quiet. You don't want to tell anybody about that stuff, or they will hate you forever. Believe me, I've had a few angry women, because I opened my big mouth. My mouth was always the thing that got me in the most trouble. I will say that. It's something I do a lot here, and people seem to like it here on the channel, but it always got me in the trouble. So I've learned as I got older, and it took long enough, that sometimes keeping your mouth shut is the best thing to do in a lot of situations. Never miss a good chance to shut up, is what they say. And I'm learning that. I've been learning that. You know, a lot of people, they think that I'm just some incel that lives in my mother's basement or something like that. No, actually, I lived with a lot of women, a lot of roommates. I actually got kicked out of my parents' house. Yeah, for real, true story. My old man said if I didn't make it into the military, I was out. I was gone. So I had nowhere to go except one place that I had really good friends, and they invited me in. They didn't have much, but it was enough. And I still had my job, I was still working, and I managed to stay there for just a mere $70 a month, which was nothing. And basically I paid, you know, they fed me and all that stuff, and it was great. We had some really good times, and I lived with them. And then after that, we all moved out to another area where there was even more of us, where it was even a larger group. So there was two. There's one where I lived with a lot of the same people, but it's like my buddy and his wife and my sis, adopted sis. By the way, she's a grandmother now. Her oldest is pregnant now, so she's just about to have her second grandchild. She's very happy about it. But, you know, it's crazy. I remember those young girls running around in diapers and stuff. I know the father and the stepfather. We won't talk too much about the craziness of the stepfather, but the father, he was a damn good friend of mine, man. He's a different guy now, but he was a damn good man to open his door and let me in. And, you know, lived with a lot of different people. Now, there was never the part where the girlfriend moved in. That was coming. But I always had a bad pick with women. Like, there was one I picked, she was crazy. And there was another one I picked that she was, ooh, man. Just, and there was another one, she just, oh, man, it's just, it was bad. It was bad. But yeah, when I was younger, I used to hang out with all these, the rebel folks, you know, the ones that get into trouble and crazy shit. So I damn near got arrested. I damn near died a few times. The first time I actually drank in my life was 16. And I actually had my first joint. And I also had my first shot of hard liquor. And they put codeine in it. So I had like a blast. And then I just got real fucking tired. Now that shit's dangerous. Don't fucking do that. But that's the kind of shit that was going on. Like, that's the kind of crazy crap. I remember, you know, my friend, she was only 16. A lot of us were really young, 16, 17. And there was a whole table just full of alcohol, full of liquor. We're talking hard liquor. So I'm drinking all kinds of crazy shit. And I mean, you guys just don't understand. There was one time I was at a lake around here, and a police officer, you know, because it had been late, we were partying, and a police officer came over there to check what was going on, And he was feeling good. The police officer actually had a few drinks with us. He was about to get off his shift. And he actually went in the car and smoked a joint. Real story. It's happened like 20-something years ago. So, you know, it's no issue. But, yeah, he did. And then after that, he said, I mean, he was telling stories. And I was drinking regular beer, just regular old Budweiser, trying to see how drunk I could get, you know. That's when I'm like, let's see, can I drink all these in one sitting? I was just like, one can, then another can, then another can. I was just drinking them as fast as I could, just pounding beer to see how drunk I could get. And I was fucking slurring and everything else. And I was underage, okay? I was like 16, so they were worried, because there were a lot of adults there. And, basically, the policeman, he had said something, and I added, and they were like, oh my god, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. And DP was here, by the way. My co-host? Oh yeah. This is like when I first met him. So, but yeah, I said something, and I said it perfect. And everybody was like, oh my god, we thought we were going to get busted for intoxicating a minor. And I didn't, but I'll tell you what I did do. When I was on the ride home, I puked in that girl's car so many fucking times, she about damn near killed me. Oh, man. I almost dated one of her friends, too. It's crazy. So, no, I did date one of her friends. I didn't date her for long, but I did date. And there was another time, I don't know if I mentioned this, but basically I was given, I poured what I thought was Smirnoff vodka. Smirnoff ice, you know, the little ice, the non-alcoholic alcohol. So I was like, oh, I like Smirnoff ice, I'll pour this whole bottle into this big ass cup. Like, this was a big ass fucking, this is a glass, folks. This wasn't like a red solo cup. This was a full out on glass. It was big. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna drink this whole fucking glass. And then I started to sip it, and I'm like, ooh, this is stronger than Smirnoff ice. And then my buddy, he comes over and he says, well, you just fucked up. I said, why? He said, you poured a whole glass of Smirnoff vodka. And I said, well, can I put it back? He's like, nope, you're not, no alcohol abuse. You're gonna drink that whole fucking thing. And dude, I drank that whole fucking thing. And after I drank that thing, oh my god, the world was just dizzy. Everything was spinning. So basically, I would have to walk over to the chair and sit down in that chair and just, like, I couldn't do anything but sit there, and just everything was spinning. And everybody was making fun of me and laughing and everything because I just fucked up so bad with that shit. My girlfriend at the time was laughing. And I'm like, honey, I need a chair. Like, I need to sit down. And she's laughing the whole goddamn time. I had a lot of fun when I was young and growing up, folks. So, playing games like this, it kind of reminds me of it. I'm not that guy that's like, oh, I never partied and had fun. Dude, I damn near killed myself, okay? Partying. Alright? So, I mean, there was a time when I was in a coma for 3 days on and off. Because, yeah. Just know, whatever people are going to say, oh, this guy's an incel. No. Absolutely not. I did skip marriage and a lot of other things, and I don't know what it would have been like. I mean, it's not for me to go in there and sit and talk about, but it happened. It is what it is. She got married, she got divorced, the other one got married, got divorced. I don't know what the hell happened to some of the other girls. One of them, she was with a guy, they never got married. She's by herself, you know, does her thing, and that's it, man. People move, people change. And of course, guy friends I know, one of them, he's got a very, very popular blog right now. Very popular. His wife was narcissistic, and he had four sons with her, and she was crazy. I didn't realize she was a narcissist, though. I mean, I was around her, but I didn't know the signs. This was a different one. This wasn't his other wife that I used to live with. This was a completely different girl. And his other wife would warn me about her, and it turned out it was true. So now he doesn't really have anybody in his life. He just, I don't know what he does. He's in that kind of that same route I'm at. Kind of hard to believe, right? But, I mean, I got my doll and my memories, I guess you could say, right? And these games, they make me remember the good times, you know, before things started getting crazy. So I really enjoy them, and I enjoy the memories, and I like kind of going back through all this with you. Even if we've had some pretty crazy, rough times, you know, as far as some of the things that a game mentions and I have to go back to and tell you about. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and probably bring this to a close in the next couple of lines, but I thank you guys for being a part of this, as always. It means a lot. Sorry I couldn't update so much. It was a holiday. Things have been rough. So we'll try it again next week and, you know, try to give you more of this and other great Uncanny Valley novels. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But let's go ahead and finish up these last couple lines and then we'll be out. So what is it you were talking about before I got here anyway? I heard laughing. Oh, that, the Vasquez incident. Vasquez, doesn't ring a bell. Spanish teacher, Latino. Huge tits. Oh, her. I actually met her at a cafe sometime after we finished school. She apologized for being such a bitch when she was a teacher. Wow. Then we had lunch together and afterwards. We fucked at my place. What? She had nice boobs. Well, there was not a whole lot of sleeping last night, but I feel strangely refreshed anyway. Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes. And by the sound of it, I think I'm the last one up. You're about to enter your first mini Rome, kind of like being a dick. Click on the arrow keys to move around when they light up green, or use the arrow keys on your keyboard. We're not going to use the arrow keys. They click a little bit too much. Yep. They're all up. Okay, well, this is a good place to stop. And I hope you guys enjoyed the game and got something out of my stories and maybe learned a little something about me. You know, because, yeah, I'm the guy that reads all this stuff, but I've lived a life too. And a lot of these experiences aren't so far from what I've been through. So I'll see you guys next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley with Leap of Faith.